conversations that you connect with and react to. SAFM.
Over the past few weeks, we've been speaking to various political parties about their election manifestos ahead of this year's national and provincial elections. Today, we tackle SARA's election manifesto. Party's promise to professionalise our political and public sector based on merit. It has its GEAR programme. They're going to defeat poverty and unemployment rate amongst young people and doctors. Let's talk to the president of the South African Rainbow Alliance, Colleen Makubele. Colleen, thank you very much.
Thank you, John, and my greetings to the listeners at home.
Let's get some background. Who is SARA? What is, 'cause it's different to normal political parties, for lack of a better word.
Well, not so different. Of course, it was established as an alliance consisting of various parties that agreed to come together, you know, consolidate their voices, their votes, and consolidate their resources. And we didn't, of course, count on me being fired. So that fundamentally changed the state of SARA. So SARA is a normal political party that any member can join. And we also do have alliances. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, just give us the story. You were fired?
Yeah, I was fired by Lekota, basically, for daring to want to be president. And that's the story that really, of course, shocked me, shocked the whole city of Joburg unexpectedly so. Having worked with the president since July last year in the formation of SARA with various other parties that were participating, and some that fell off for various reasons, policy reasons, some thought they'll go it alone, you know. And we were left remaining at that time in November when I was fired. It was COPE, NFP, there was a party called ICM, and ARM, which could not, was registering as a party but could later not. There were some, of course, we still have the church groups and some civic organizations. And when I was nominated by the collective there to be the president of SARA, I think that didn't sit well. It's a typical problem that we have with, look, we can take it to gender, women, confidence in women leading, and also generationally so. That WhatsApp group of Ntate Lekota, the, you know, you can name them. All of them are on your posters now. They just don't want to leave the scene. You look at APC, UDM, and you ask yourself, what else do they have to offer after so many years that they've been trying this and getting one seat? Some didn't get seats. They're coming back again. So clearly the nation is crying out for something different, fresh leadership, new ideas. And the idea behind SARA was to bring that kind of leadership, you know, and that the majority of the demographics in this nation can resonate with. You spoke merit. We speak women. We're speaking, you know, of course, not youth, but young enough to resonate with the issues, merit based. And also, we bring the godly values that we stand by and that we believe the nation really needs to go back to some command and control based on a common set of values that we have to stand by as a nation. We are too secular such that really we can't even control the basic social ills, and that creates social disorder when there's nothing that binds the nation together, you know. Lawlessness and disrespect and recklessness and just behavioral conduct of ordinary citizen that is unexpected in a country that has some degree of first world qualities to it, you know. Look at how we behave in the streets, how we pee and wee, and, you know, children shooting teachers at schools, you know. Traditional leaders are complaining of disrespect of young people that think democracy is disrespect. So those social disorders, they talk to values that have been lost along the way.
Okay, so much to unpack. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, though. You and Patricia de Lille, probably from what's quickly just thinking about it, the two female leaders of political parties in the country. Is South Africa ready for a female president?
South Africa is ready for a female president. When we go and talk to the citizens, we get that message loud and clear, and they resonate with SARA. And perhaps to a large degree, I can speak to why Auntie P has stayed on until now. And people are tired of men that we have continually been voting for who have really not cared enough for communities. There's a sense that a woman may have some sort of a conscience, you know, not so, and moral values that bind a woman to know, I look after kids, I must be able to work and take something home and leave something for the children. We're generational thinkers, and we're builders rather than men who can pick up and go and leave you. And we've seen, especially in our Black communities, where women have single-handedly raised children and raised communities. So women are crying out for that. But you know where, John, the problem, I think, is, And I'm so grateful that you invited me for this interview. But I think the media and the funders, who are very important to any political party's success, are not ready for a woman leadership. And I'll tell you this. I've been in office as a speaker of the city of Johannesburg. Yeah, you may criticize, but I think I've done a pretty good job. You know, they may not have liked some of them what I stood for at the time. Of course, I was under the umbrella of COPE and having moved coalitions, you know, some people didn't take that well who belonged to the multi-party. But give or take, I did a good job. The communities resonated. For the first time, people understood what a speaker of the city does. And I was visible. And when they is no mayor like now, you know, at the time, you know, I was really strongly filling in the gap. And I come with those credentials, educational background, qualities, experience, and, you know, you can package it. I've been tested a little bit in the public office. And you get people that walk out of some corporate office, they're going into politics for the first time, never set foot on a campaign ground. You don't know if these people really have that which it takes to be a the heart, the servanthood, the charisma that it needs, and all other qualities that goes with being a politician, not just technical crunching of numbers and, you know. And they walk in with 15 million rands, they walk in with 100 million, some did not even make it to the ballot box, to the ballot paper. But, you know, already the confidence placed on them was tremendous and overwhelming and shocking, to say the least. And here we are still struggling to say, funders, look at what we are doing. We had a big manifesto filled in a stadium. Some of those who were funded 15 million and others, they could only fill a hall with 2,000 people. You know, and you can see that, really, is it because I'm a woman that there's no confidence? If I have to get 100,000, I must explain 20 things to them. You know, so it's a problem. Even media. I say this because without this platform that we really honor, respect, and also hate at the same time because you bash us. But we needed to get our message out there,
right,
especially for new parties like us that do not have the time and the luxury of the resources to reach the breadth of this country like others started 40 years ago, 100 years ago, some 10 years ago. So we need media to carry our message, but the reporting is not balanced. Our manifesto was not covered. Others, they ran the whole day. You know, it was only SABC who came and did an interview. It was not even live. All manifestos that you see are live.
The big stadium event things.
Big stadium event things that, not even big stadium, the small hall, the school hall events things, that they're live too, John. You know, we don't rest. E-news, newsroom, everybody's there. And I've been complaining to say, really? What was different with our manifesto with any other manifesto launch that was there? And we took it actually to where the people are. We didn't do it here in Gauteng. You know, we took it to where the people are, where their needs are. We spoke to all those people who are the statistics that we quote of unemployment, poverty, whatever you would have seen, even where we were. We didn't even have power. We had to get generators to put it, because it was a statement we wanted to make, and a statement we did make, you know.
Colleen, I need to interrupt you. We're going to take an ad break. We've got so much to delve into. We've got a long time together. If you want to talk to Colleen Makubele, president of the South African Rainbow Alliance, now is your opportunity. 086 000 2032. You can send us a voice note as well on 0614 104
10. Across South Africa, online and on radio. SAFM, let's talk.
Colleen Makubele is the president of the South African Rainbow Alliance. So much to talk about. I want to talk about the alliance first of all. That it's we're seeing these coalition things popping up. You've almost taken a step further already. You've got these small, very small parties together. Was that a difficult challenge to find a common ground, or are you open to all these different voices maybe pulling in different directions?
No, it's still a great challenge, to be honest with you. And we have lost some, and some are coming in. Number one, it was a challenge of policy alignment, because we don't, you know, there are parties that believe in land issues, Africanism, etc., and which we just think are ideologies that are not practical. Parties that believe in socialism and going into the far left, which we don't stand for. We made it clear that we are a pro-business party. We are, that's why we adopted the gear. We call it the Sarah gear, because of our business-friendly approach and job first. That's what we think is important for South Africans: food on your table, money in your pocket, so that you are able to afford your basic needs, etc. So some felt they didn't want, they didn't resonate with it. They wanted to focus on land issues. But what do you do with land when you don't have a job, when you don't have income? You can't cultivate it. You can't build on it. It's just, it's a nice concept, but impractical. And you need two-thirds majority to change the constitution to grab that land. So those fell off. Even in terms of the values that we perhaps resonate with, and we stand for godly principles, and we are clear on that. And most of us are Christians, and we stand on those biblical values. And some did not resonate with that, and so they left. And but now, one of the key things that have caused some to leave now is that people come hand in cap in an alliance, thinking that as the leader of the alliance, you must fund everything that they do. You know, they are not bringing in the numbers that they said they have. You want now the database, because especially when we needed to do the signatures for IEC, then you realize these people are bluffing. They have no people behind them, and we have to now go to the ground, but then you must carry their expenses, and they're expecting seats. And so it becomes a tug of war on some expectations of power without putting any skin on the table. Because being part of an alliance, you're not just jumping on a gravy train. It's work, you know. So some fell off because of that as well. We are left now. It's us, as Sarah, as I said, it's a political party which is standing on its own, etc. We still have the traditional leaders. We've got ICM, the Independent Citizens Movement, as a party that is part of us. We've got AMSA, which is a party out of KZN, which is part of us. And we are talking to, there's one party that wants to join us out of Mpumalanga now. Some fell off for those reasons of jumping onto the gravy train and expecting that Colleen and everybody else is going to take you to parliament. Doesn't work that way in an alliance.
Okay, where will you be standing for election?
I'm standing as a presidential candidate for Sarah, and I'm also standing as a Gauteng premier candidate for Sarah.
In Gauteng, okay. In Gauteng, you personally, and the party standing everywhere, or is it just certain provinces?
No, we are national. We are standing in for national elections, so you'll see us on the national ballot paper, and we're also contesting two provinces, which is Gauteng and Limpopo.
Okay, any particular reason?
Look, first is because the amount of work to gather the signatures. We are only 4 months old. Right. We could not gather as much as we wanted. But we had gathered over 110,000 signatures. If I tell you, John, that 60% of them were invalid. Wrong IDs that were given. Some of the people that gave us IDs didn't register to vote. So those automatically fall off. Mm. We could have qualified for more provinces, and we're very close for other provinces. But we just felt, look, the timing and everything else. And as a party that is building up, because we don't see 2024 as the be-all and end-all, as some, you know, are coming and gunning for 2024. Yeah. We know that we are here for the long haul. And this is just a start, and we are going to build 2026 and to 2029 as well.
Just looking, and we'll go deeper into your policies. Strategy one, less government intervention, four pillars of the gear, which you said, economic growth to create employment, SMME friendly, you mentioned that as well. Is it fair to say that you are right, and you bring in the godly aspect of it, is it fair to say that you are right-leaning in South African politics? You're tending towards being more conservative.
I think we are more liberal. We are middle ground. We've taken the middle ground. Maybe slightly right-leaning, but we are middle ground. Because as much as we believe in business-friendly policies, we want to revise and do away with a lot of what is in the labor laws, which is hindering SMMEs and business from growing, creating employment and reinvesting. Some of the BE laws that we want to look at, etc. We do believe in redistribution, which is grants. We do have the most vulnerable people that we know deserve to be on grants. But we just don't believe in creating a nation that is reliant on grant like what we have now. You know, almost, I think, over 20 million people in this nation monthly depend on grants. 7 million of those are the 350. So we are not creating self-reliant citizens. You know, they are relying on government as an employer, as someone who government must give them bread to eat, government must give them a house and all of those kind of things. So, and we do believe in providing homes, you know, for the vulnerable as well. But we want to put as many citizens as we can back at work to be productive and to be able to create opportunities even for others in terms of if they're in business, creating more employment, etc. So that's what we stand for.
So create, just so I understand it before we go to news headlines, create more job opportunities. And but in doing so, you don't need to give as many grants to people. And you
Certainly.
Don't need to supply all those other things that we have reached the point of at the moment.
And we can afford it with the high debt levels that we have as a country. Mm. I mean, we can't borrow to give grants.
Okay.
If we're going to borrow, we must be investing to be productive, profitable, and to pay it back, because now we can't even pay it back. So we are saying that our policies that we've put in place, which is denationalization under our growth policies for economic denationalization, 24-hour economy, cutting down taxes, exempting SMMEs, will ensure that we create jobs.
Okay.
And therefore, you don't need to be paying so many grants, but only the most vulnerable people with disability, the elderly, and, you know, those really that cannot find their job. And then you are able to give meaningful grants, not 350, 3,000. So the cost of living is too high. You know, let people be able to live out of the grants, but you give them this 350 that they can't even reach home because they have to take five taxes with anything meaningful. It just defeats the whole purpose.
All right, we're going to find out how you're going to do that. Colleen Makubele is my guest for the next half hour, president of the South African Rainbow Alliance. We've got Colin in Rustenburg. We'll take your calls and we'll also take some voice notes as well. It's 29 minutes to 6. Luyanda has your latest news headline.
Call us on 086-000-2032.
My guest is Colleen Makubele, president of the South African Rainbow Alliance. In our election, we're looking at election manifestos of political parties today. We've had an hour. We'll take some voice notes in a minute, Colleen. I've asked many questions. I could ask questions forever, but that's not the point of the show. Let's see what people think. Colin is in Rustenburg. Hello, Colin.
Hello, John. How are you?
Lekker. Go ahead. Question for Colleen.
Yeah, look, I don't know how many minutes I have, but I'm going to try to summarize my statement.
Quickly, quickly.
Yeah, and still be coherent. You see, one of the things that are going to be taking us back in South Africa is this thing that Bomme Makubele and others are doing. This thing where, this tendency where every man and his dog feel like they want to start a party on the street because they want that one seat and continue feeding themselves and their family and having proximity to power. And this thing, you see, how do you see this thing? You see it in also in this behavior that they don't respect the mandate of the people. Colleen in Cope there in Joburg, she had two seats or three seats in the council, but then she wants to become the speaker of council. She wants to become the mayor of the council. Because we as the people give the politicians the mandate that no, as a group of people, we have selected, we have given this party 45%, we have given this party 35%, but then Colleen with a one seat in parliament, she will want to be president. And then you ask, Corey,
okay,
what are you going to do? You ask, let me finish.
Go quickly, we kind of got the gist of what you mean, but quickly.
Yes. You ask her, what are you going to do? What do you think needs to be done in South Africa to help South Africa? She gives you generic answers. A layman on the street can tell you those answers. What you want to know is, if you had the power, if you gave it the majority tomorrow, what exactly are you going to do? Don't tell us you are going to create jobs. Even a child of 5 years can tell you people are jobless in South Africa and therefore need to create jobs.
All right, so, we're getting to that, Colin. We're getting into the nitty-gritty. Colin in Rustenburg, thank you very much.
Yes.
2 points. Thank you very much. Colleen Makubele.
Yes.
First point, that you're a small little party and you're just joining to get onto the gravy train.
I think it's ignorance talking, and I pity Colin because his lack of understanding of a political landscape is coming through. You know, no one gave anybody a mandate in the city of Joburg as an example, because nobody won the elections. So all the parties that were there, you can probably say they lost elections, whether you lost by one seat or by 20 seats or by 40 seats, no one was given the mandate to govern. And therefore, it necessitates for coalition government, which happens anywhere in the world. And we've got a constitution that allows us to say you can be an independent candidate that comes with one seat and be able to be in government and add value. And the notion that, you need to have 50, 60 seats to be able to add value to the policy direction, to socioeconomic issues that people are facing, I think it's totally and completely wrong and misinformed and misleading to the listeners. And second to that is that I did not elect myself to be speaker. When people see value and experience and trust and have confidence in what you bring to the table, they elect you to lead. Same as when COPE saw what I could offer, they then gave me the opportunity to be a mayoral candidate, and of course we did not win, but the entire council saw it fit that I be elected as a speaker. And that speaks volume to say being a one-seater party does not mean that you are a minority in your thinking. It just means that you resonate with different values that the majority does not. And there are certain people in our country that do resonate with that, and they would give you their vote to go and represent them. And that's what we are doing. We're representing those that feel they resonate with what we have to offer. And contrary to what the gentleman Colin has said, I have not even unpacked what I have to offer.
Yeah, we haven't even started that. Let's be careful with that.
Thank you.
Just quickly, when it comes to coalitions, will you, your voters like what you are doing? All right, and they are giving you the mandate if they do, and you get, let's say, 1-2 seats in parliament, which is fantastic. Will you change to fit a larger party, to fit into a coalition, or this is what I do, and we will find coalition partners that fit within what we think?
John, with much reflection, we've made those mistakes, I think, even as COPE in the city of Joburg. Trying to fit into the multi-party, you then realize the DA has a different agenda to what your constituency want. And then we try to fit into the government of local unity, realize that the ANC has no interest in governing but to get into the purse, and there's no interest really in serving our people. So at this stage, we want to represent our constituency to the best of our ability, even if it means that we're just going to sit in the opposition benches and push the policies that we want to push. We are prepared to do that, because as I sit now, I don't see a coalition that we could fit into and be comfortable, except if all these new parties that are coming up, and I have a lot of respect for them. You know, if you get the Rise, you get perhaps the Action,
some independence,
we come together and we have votes enough to make government. I think that's what South Africa needs, and it will bring a change in this country. But going with ANC and going with DA, nah.
In Flansla, in KwaZulu-Natal, hi.
Good afternoon, my brother, and to
Colleen. Colleen.
Mokrada, I've got a problem with the press when she says she doesn't believe in expropriation of the land. At the moment, we are having a bill that speaks about expropriation of the land. We are having a bill that speaks about equality, employment equity. And when we speak about disputing the land, most of the women in rural areas, they use the land, they plant. but they don't get support to plant and be able to sell.
All right,
let's, to cover to,
okay, to, let's find out the reason. Tlantla and Tlantla and KwaZulu-Natal, you did say that. I was going to bring that up on you earlier, Colleen Makubele, president of South African Rainbow Alliance. One can survive with land. So what is it? What is your land policy? What is your thinking?
Let me correct the listener, the gentleman who just called. Expropriation, we believe, but without compensation, it's just not possible with the constitution that we have.
Okay.
And if somebody comes to you and say, this is what we're going to give you, it's our policy, believe me, they have not been able to do it for the last 30 years. They're not going to be able to do it unless they change the constitution of the land. You may enjoy being lied to and buy into a story that will never be possible. But what we are saying is this. We are not against people buying land, as the constitution says. We are not against giving land which government has land and it gives to housing projects and etc. to build houses. They've given to rural areas because that land is controlled by the traditional leaders, etc. They give land to their people and their citizens within that particular village, and they can be able to cultivate. We, as a government of SARA, if we need to assist anyone to cultivate, whether it's seeds or irrigation or water rights, we are prepared to do that. But we're not going to sit here and lie to you to say we're going to give you land without a compensation. We can't do that without having the ability to change the constitution. We believe that people must be given those opportunities to income-earning opportunities. If it's through farming, yes, we'll assist you with that. And we have it in the rural generation. It's part of our manifesto. We've spoken about it. And if we have time to get into it, we'll get into it. Rural generation talks to agriculture as well. How do we assist our rural mothers and fathers, young men and young women, to go back and regenerate the rural areas, create tourism opportunities in there, because rural tourism, cultural tourism, ecotourism is big now. Go into farming with the land that they have for food security and many other reasons. You'll find it in our policies. And we talk about jobs. When we tell you that what is important for South Africans right now, any South African that you meet on the road, is income earning. They want to be able to have a income, money in their pocket, food on their table, and have a home. And having a home does not mean that you must expropriate land. It means that a government must be able to provide the homes that they said they will provide since 1994. And I want to say this, John, if you allow me. One of the key reasons that as SARA we are here and we exist, this will answer the previous caller's question as well. There are four primary tests of any legit democratic government. If that government is able to provide, number one, income earning opportunity for its citizen,
mm-hmm.
the government that we have has failed. Test number two, can that government provide homes for its citizens? This government has failed. We've got 3 million backlog, 3 million homes of backlogs in South Africa that needs to be addressed because of the tender system, corruption, and some of this EEE and BEE stuff that they apply to the tender processes that they hide corruption under. And that is what we want to look into. Empowering, transformation, empowerment is high on our agenda. But we think we need to fix something in there so that we empower the right people, not just ANC cadres and those connected to power. Three tests. Can this government protect its citizens domestically? This government has failed. The high level of crime, we are unsafe. We have to hide ourselves in our home because we just don't know whether you drive down the road, are you going to come back home alive or not? This government has failed to protect its citizens. The police needs revenge.
Just before,
the fourth and the last one.
Can
this government protect its citizens from external threats. Through its border controls and the influx of immigrants? We don't even have to go to the foreign nationals. The government has failed on those four fundamental tests. And everybody who's standing on these elections is either standing on one of those or on all of those to be providing solutions. And ours are in our manifesto.
Okay, so that's my point. You're criticizing what has been done. Can you make those changes? Will your policies, and unfortunately we don't have time to go through all of them, but based on your policies, and I'm sure that you will share it with people on social medias and emails and all those kind of things, can you do those four things? Do you feel you have the people and the talent to be able to do that?
We have. You look at our candidate list, you'll see the kind of people that we've put in there. It talks to those priorities that we have. Let me talk about our SARA gear, which is what we've put in our manifesto.
That's
as our
headline.
G is for growth. How do we then inspire and stimulate growth in South Africa to create those jobs or income or earning opportunities? Number one, we want to denationalize all the state-owned entities. There is no state-owned entity that is working in this country. We want to be able to get private investors to take over state-owned entities like Transnet,
everything.
PRASA,
railway lines, roads, everything.
You don't have water. State is running that.
Yes.
You don't have electricity. State is running that. You name it. Post office is no longer working. You know, we're closing it down. We're retrenching over 100,000
people. We want
to
privatize everything.
We have to privatize, but government working with private sector. SAA. It may have been a failed project because of the corruption of Godan, you know, to privatize it. But it has to be privatized. It was failing. They were retrenching many, many people. You name it, Denel. I can go on and tell you what is not working. Because those are already nationalized entities. This government is not able to effectively run.
Don't tell me what this government can't do. Tell me what you can.
Yes, we have people, we have investors that wants to come and put in their money. Mm. And even when I was the chairperson of the post office, we had investors that wanted to come and say, you don't have to retrench anybody. We'll take over this infrastructure. We'll make it work. We like the footprint of post office. Mm. We've got ideas and we can even share the revenue with you guys. Brilliant ideas. But nobody wanted to buy into it. Now they're retrenching, they've closed it. So denationalization.
Public-private partnerships is what you're talking
P-P-P
about. Because that's my worry. You can't have private people owning the railway line.
No, you can't. But you need private sector to put in the money to now modernize those railways, modernize our ports. We used to be number top 10 of ports around the world. Mm. Right now, we are lingering 251st, 256th in the world because we don't even have the money to modernize them. So those private partnerships are so crucial to make sure that we create jobs, we maintain, you know, our status in the world, going into first world country, create efficiency so that the world can come.
Trade unions are going to hate you.
Well, I'm not a fan of them a lot as well, but we have to put them in their place. They protect the rights of workers. They cannot dictate on policy. And those are some of the firm leadership qualities that we're bringing. Because at the state where we are right now, if we continue in this trajectory where trade unions feel the upper hand over government all the time, we are just going to lose jobs. They are not gaining anything because all the people that should be in trade unions and working are sitting at home waiting for a grant every month. So it's like, really, let's just be sound in our minds. Two, we want to introduce a 24-hour economy, night economy.
Mm-hmm.
We know nightlife in South Africa. And we compete with metropolitan cities like New York and London, Hong Kong, Tokyo, etc. Those are night economies that are generating jobs, three shifts in a day. They don't sleep. That's why they operate through time zones. Mm. Our only night economy that we know is hospitals and maybe restaurants and clubs. Right now, we're saying that offices can operate 24/7. Malls, shops can operate 24/7. You've created three shifts without lifting a finger. That alone halves the unemployment before we can even breathe in our first 30 days in office. Sure. That can be implemented. Cutting down taxes for corporates. You know, we are the highest, one of the highest countries that tax corporates and SMMEs. If we remove those tax burdens and as a condition, create jobs, invest, modernize your equipment, assist us. Like South Africa used to be a workshop of the world. Right now we're an industrial wasteland because of some of these things that we're raising here.
Colleen, it's officially 6 o'clock. Where can somebody find? I know I've been struggling to find your website. So I don't know if you have a website. So you've got a lovely 40-page manifesto. How do we get hold of that?
Yeah, we actually took it down because we're putting in a donate for us tab so that it can be interactive. So it should be coming up.
Okay.
You should see our website. If not in the next couple of days, it should be up again. We needed to revise because we need to raise money and we needed to put those functionalities. But you'll find it there in our social media. Contact us.
Social media is busy.
Yeah, and we'll send it to you. It's readily available.
Okay. Mm-hmm. SARA. Will that be where it is? All right. So that is Colleen Makubele. Unfortunately, we're out of time. President of the South African Rainbow Alliance. Touched the surface. We've just scratched it. It's now up to you to go and do a little bit more research. Colleen Makubele, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you so much.